This show is Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. And on the show today, we've got members of the cast and staff of the Champaign Park District's Youth Theater Program production of Music Man Junior. It's going to be at Champaign Centennial High School starting Thursday, running through Saturday. And we'll have some of the live songs in our studio. And also talking with Gary Shaw, who is professor of music at Millikan University in Decatur and conductor of the wind ensemble there. They and the University Concert Band are performing tonight in the Albert Taylor Hall on the Millikan campus in Decatur. And we'll hear a bit about that in the first portion of the show. Hope you'll stay tuned. Fanfare and Allegro of Clifton Williams with the Eastman Wind Ensemble led by Frederick Fennell here on Live and Local. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from these business partners: Busey Bank, Unitarian Universalist Church of Urbana, Kirby Foods of Champaign, and A-Plus Farms Limited of Pine Village. These business partners join the friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Gary Shaw, who is professor of music and chair of the Wind, Brass, and Percussion Division at Millikan University in Decatur. He teaches trombone and conducts the Symphonic Wind Ensemble, and this is the reason for our conversation, is the Wind Ensemble, which is giving a concert Wednesday evening, and that's jointly with the University Concert Band, conducted by Sharon Huff, and I notice there's a guest conductor on this program. Gary's on the phone with us. Now, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you.
What time is that concert on Wednesday?
On Wednesday, it's at 7:30, and it's not in the usual place where we have most of our concerts. It's in the Albert Taylor Hall, which is where our theater department has productions, and it's because of the busy time of year, but it's a little bit more intimate setting than Kirkland, and a nice place for a concert.
I heard recently that there's a ghost in Albert Taylor Hall.
That's very true. There is, and it's in a book entitled Haunted Decatur. We just had a percussion ensemble concert where it's a possibility that the ghost was there.
Have you encountered the ghost yet?
No, I haven't, but I wouldn't walk around there late at night by myself.
Yeah, I read a bit about that. It sounds like some scary things have happened to students,
yes,
especially.
Yes. And the famous rail girl.
Well, we won't go there, I guess. We'll talk about this concert and not try to jinx your event.
Right.
Do you normally do joint concerts with the concert band?
Yes,
between the
you know, we
two
do,
groups?
The simple reason is that when we have over 100 students performing, it really helps us have more of an audience, because their parents, if they live close enough, will come, and their friends at school will come. And unfortunately, if one band plays alone, we don't have as strong an audience. So that's one of the reasons we do it. And we also like to have both groups together so that they listen to each other. Also, that's part of their education, I think, is to hear more literature.
Do most of the kids, shouldn't call them kids anymore, I guess, but do...
They are to us, Kevin.
I know they are. It's sort of funny, listening to the various basketball and football coaches refer to their kids. And
right.
I always
right.
wonder how these brawny guys feel about that. But
yeah. Well, actually, you teach at a university there. The students kind of remind you every once in a while that you're not as young as you think you are.
Especially the longer you stick around.
That's
they,
right.
They get younger.
That's right.
Well, anyway, I was gonna ask, what do most of the students come from nearby, or is it a pretty wide range?
We have a pretty wide range at Millikan. I mean, we have students from the Chicago suburbs and Chicago and then St. Louis suburbs, and quite a few from rural areas in southern Illinois and central Illinois. So it's a pretty diverse range of students. So parents do, when we have concerts on Sundays especially, parents will come down for the day, take their student out for lunch or dinner and hear the concert. So that makes for a good family event.
Oh, and it's a beautiful campus to be on this time of year with the leaves and everything. It's very colorful.
Yes, it is. Yes.
So talk a little bit about the program. Do you want to deal with the concert band portion a little bit, which
okay,
is the
well,
one you're not conducting?
I'm not conducting it. The concert band, with the exception of one composer that would be familiar to real band fans, Clifton Williams, the Symphonians, that's written in 1960, is kind of a staple of the concert band literature. I'm sure if we looked at programs at the University of Illinois, that piece has been played many, many times. But the rest of the pieces are contemporary pieces written in the past 15, 20 years for concert band and, for very good high school programs and, concert bands at universities. The wind ensemble portion, I'm liking more and more to revisit what I think is an important standard of the literature each semester. So our piece for this semester is the Toccata Marseillaise by Ralph Vaughan Williams. And Vaughan Williams and Holst are the two of our most important composers in the band medium. So we're starting the program with that. And then a movement for Rosa is dedicated to Rosa Parks, and it's written by Mark Camphouse, who's on the faculty at Radford University in Virginia. He has written quite a bit of band music that's played in universities and high schools. And then really the special piece that we're doing, Angels in the Architecture, written in 2008 by Frank Ticelli. Just really beautiful, innovative piece, and it starts with a solo soprano in the balcony, and it also ends with the band humming E-flat above middle C and B-flat above middle C, so even the guys have to sing falsetto and the soprano singing as well. So it's really a colorful piece, lots of percussion, and really beautiful band piece that I just became familiar with in the past year.
Well, you sent me a recording of this one. Why don't we let folks listen to some of it? I don't want to give away the whole thing.
Sure.
This is Angels in the Architecture, Frank Ticelli. He spells his name, by the way, T-I-C-H-E-L-I, born 1958, just a few years before me. And this performance is by the University of North Texas Wind Ensemble, Eugene Corporon conducting. You can hear the complete work played by the Millikan University Symphonic Wind Ensemble, conducted by Gary Shaw, Wednesday night at 7:30 in the Albert Taylor Hall on the Millikan campus in Decatur. This is Live and Local. Angels in the Architecture, we heard a sampling of it by Frank Ticelli, a performance by the University of North Texas Wind Ensemble, conducted by Eugene Corporon. And don't have the designation of who the featured soloist is there, but in the Millikan University Wind Ensemble, Symphonic Wind Ensemble performance Wednesday night, it'll feature soprano Carrie Ringenberg, and conducted by Gary Shaw, who's on the phone with me from Millikan right now here on Live and Local. Is Carrie Ringenberg, is she one of your students?
Actually, she is. She's one of the oboists in the wind ensemble. She's a terrific oboist, English horn player, and I think that she's a vocal performance major. She just performed in the opera production of The Magic Flute. Don't ask me what her role was. But she's just very, very, very talented. So a perfect piece for her to sing. I asked her at her oboe audition if she'd like to sing with the wind ensemble, and she's been smiling ever since.
How, I know that there are a lot of singers at Millikan involved in so many of the choirs and also
yes.
theater department and in the voice department. How many of your students in the wind ensemble are actually majors on the wind instruments?
Well, I think that the majority of them are majors on their wind instruments, but I'd say if out of 50 students, there it can range from 10 to 20 of them that also sing in a choir. Kari's a double major, oboe and vocal, and some of them try to do that. Some of them try to do music ed so they can teach vocal or instrumental. So students at Millikan really they come here. They want to play a lot. They want to sing. They like to perform. The other thing, and this isn't exactly your question, and this might be true at other schools too, notice more and more students in the sciences, pre-med nursing majors, that continue playing their instruments when they're in college, and they really like getting away from all that hard studying, and some of them turn out to be the best players here.
What are you saying, that music students don't have to do hard studying?
different kind. Yeah. But no, they really like the challenge, and some of them take lessons and really, really stay with it while they're here. So I've noticed the trend lately.
Well, I can understand that. When I was doing my master's in conducting here at the University of Illinois, I really was getting tired of some of the music classes, and so I had to go take an English class just to read some real literature, so to speak.
Right.
And it was a nice change
right.
of pace.
And the non-majors just really love to play, and unfortunately, those of us in music and the music majors, sometimes we're so busy we forget that we really love music. You know, it's just another performance because we have so many at some times of the year. So it's good to have them there to remind us.
Yeah, really. You said earlier that you are liking to have at least one staple of the band literature on your programs.
Yes.
But the band literature seems to have really started early in the 20th century and not much before.
Right.
Is that right?
Right. Yeah, before that, you know, orchestral transcriptions and marches by Sousa and Pryor and Clark and other people and, you know, novelty pieces. So it really wasn't until the 20th century, and really it started off with Gustav Holst and the Holst Suites and Vaughan Williams' Folk Song Suite and Toccata Marseillaise, and that the band was taken to be a serious medium of its own.
Why did it take so long? Any idea?
Why did it take so long? That's a good question.
I never really thought of that before myself.
I'm trying to think of a short answer. Well, I think it comes from the composers. I mean, we have to have a composer write a piece for us. So when we had Holst decide that he was going to write an original piece for the wind band, I think that served as an example for his contemporaries and people that followed him.
Well, were there not wind bands before that?
I mean, there have been wind bands since the Renaissance, but the concert band as we know it now, I think, had its roots, you know, at the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century, and it was an entertainment medium. You know, people would go and hear concerts outside in the parks, or they could listen to concerts on the radio. And there weren't so many different things that people could do for entertainment, so concerts always featured an instrumental soloist and a vocal soloist, sometimes singing an operatic aria with, you know, accompaniment transcribed for band. And it wasn't until the 30s, 40s, 50s in the 20th century that other composers, Morton Gould is another example of American composers that took the medium and wrote some really nice pieces, Ballad for Band by Morton Gould, and Howard Hanson, Norman Della Gioia, Vincent Persichetti was another one. And then the whole music education movement, I think, is part of it too, because there are bands in every school in the country.
Yeah, there's very, very few professional bands anymore.
Right. There was. I mean, it still is in existence, but the Goldman Band that played every year at Central Park in New York City, and Goldman commissioned works by notable composers in New York and around the country for his band, so that the band had its own literature, not just borrowed literature. But sometimes it's nice to play some of the transcriptions. We played Shostakovich Festive Overture, transcribed by Donald Hunsberger when he was at the Eastman School of Music, and that's a great, great transcription for band. So some people would say that they enjoy listening it, the band version, as much as the orchestral version.
Hmm. There was a student, the youth orchestra over here in Champaign is doing that right now, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And I had one of my students tell me, you know, that was originally written for band. And I said, really? So now you're telling me it's not, right?
Right.
All right, I'm going to have to go back. If I can remember which kid that was, I'm going to say, see, I told you so.
Right.
Your teacher knows something after
right.
all.
Right.
I'm glad to have that confirmed.
Right. But, I mean, we have Symphony of Wind Instruments by Stravinsky. I mean, there are some major composers that have written for winds. Not exactly the big concert band, but and then, you know, we have Mozart serenades. That's wind music, Dvorak's serenade. So the band has been around throughout the centuries, but not in its current form like it has, especially in universities and high schools throughout this country.
Yeah, the concert. So the concert band initially just was taking the popular orchestral music.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Well, there's just so much wonderful music now for band. People
right.
are writing for it all the time. As this program, sorry, I just whacked my microphone there. As this program demonstrates, as you said, you've got, well, let's see. There's one piece from 1960, one from 1924, and everything else was 1991 or after, with
right.
two of the pieces. The Tekeli piece, just written a couple of years ago, and this piece by Brian, how do you say his last name?
Balmages,
Arabian right. Dances.
Right.
Just written last year.
Right. So, yeah, it's, you know, impossible to keep up with the literature that's being written for band now. Still, there's, you know, in my library at Millikan, music that I inherited from predecessors, there are still pieces by important composers that I still haven't conducted. Samuel Barber wrote a great little march, Commando March, for band.
Oh, you've never done that one?
No, I haven't.
Oh, that's a wonderful march.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful march. I've never played it, but I've heard it.
Right.
And
right.
That's a great piece. So, yeah. How long have you been at Millikan, Gary?
Well, this is actually my 29th year.
Or are you going to have to stick around for another 10 or 20 to get all the rest of those pieces played?
I'm working on it.
But then they're going to keep writing new ones.
That's right, right. Well, I do like to have a variety. I like to seek out new pieces that I think are very good and worthwhile to perform, and incorporate those with standards that I think are good for all, you know, wind students to play before they graduate. Have a varied program that way.
Well, it does look like a great program. It's the University Concert Band led by Sharon Huff, and the Symphonic Wind Ensemble, led by Gary Shaw, who's my guest here on Live and Local at Millikan University. The concert is Wednesday night at 7:30 in the Albert Taylor Hall, not at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center, at the Albert Taylor Hall. And so maybe people who are listening to this conversation get interested in it and help boost your audience.
That would be wonderful. There's no admission charge, and we'd love to have as many people as possible come and hear the talent on Millikan University's campus.
And there's certainly a lot of it. Gary, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin.
Let's go out with the piece that is in the beginning of the Wind Ensemble's portion of Wednesday night's program. It's the Toccata Martiale of Ralph Vaughan Williams, written in 1924 here on Live and Local. Oh, and I should add that this is the Millikan University Symphonic Wind Ensemble performing from just a week or so ago, led by Gary Shaw. From a live performance by the Millikan University Symphonic Wind Ensemble conducted by Gary Shaw, a piece called Toccata Martial by Raphon Williams. You can hear that work and many others performed by the Wind Ensemble and the Concert Band tonight at 7:30 at the Albert Taylor Theater on the Millikan University campus in Decatur. And if you heard most of that interview, I kept saying Wednesday night. That is indeed tonight. That was a pre-recorded interview, Dirty Secret of Radio. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our show is supported in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, encouraging interested patrons to take part in Dance for Parkinson's Disease on Friday, November 19th at 10 a.m. For more information on this monthly class for those with Parkinson's disease and their allies, visit krannertcenter.com. And next on today's show, we have quite a number of students from the Champaign Park District Theater program for a youth theater program, that's what it's called, from the production of Music Man Junior, which is opening tomorrow night and running through Saturday with multiple performances. And we've got Harold Hill and Marion, two Marions, Mrs. Peru, Winthrop, Harold, Marcellus, and they're all together going to represent the chorus as well here on Live and Local. And they're director, who is Deborah Myers-Dobbs. She's also going to play piano for us, and assistant director and producer says here, me, but I assume me is Todd Salen, who's the one who's been communicating with me. Todd, why don't you give us a bit of an overview of the Park District program and what's happening this week?
Park District produces three shows a year for residents and people that don't live in Champaign as well. Our first production is Music Man Junior. This program is second through eighth graders from students around the area. And as you said, that's this weekend. If you just got your Funformation guide or in the mail, Seussical is our next program, and that's going to be in March. Patty Dudley is directing that performance. And then we're going to do Camp Rock as next summer's production. The next two productions will be at the Virginia Theater, as it will be ready for us to be at again. But this production is at Centennial High School. And before I go any further, I want to thank Sue Aldridge and the people at Centennial for graciously allowing us to perform there this weekend, because the Virginia, as we know from reading the paper today, is a mess right now as they rebuild it. Although we've been rehearsing at the Virginia on stage for the last 8 weeks.
Yeah, the church where I have the choir is right next to the Virginia, and I couldn't get to it yesterday. I could, but a very roundabout way, because the street was closed. So I had the idea if there was a mess going on there. Deborah, what have these kids been like to work with? Just awful, I imagine.
Well, there are times when they're just awful, but this group in particular is fabulous. Now, we have some of the best young voices in town and around this area, I think. It was a very difficult thing to make decisions. Caitlin, my daughter, is assistant directing, and she and I sat up long into the night making decisions because we had so many wonderful students.
And this was a community audition, I assume?
Actually, this is, you sign up, and there is a limit. We started with a limit of 30 and ended up with 50, because we kept letting people in. And then after you are signed up for this with the Park District, then we have auditions, and we cast everyone.
So you kind of sign up for it as a class,
essentially? You sign up for it, yes. It's a youth program.
So everybody who signs up is in the show. We can't cut anybody from the show. But then we still have the obligation of having to assign them to different roles. And so the audition is to assign them to the roles in the show.
So Quinn Murphy, how much money did you have to pay Mrs. Dobbs to get the role of Harold Hill?
I didn't have to pay for it.
Did your dad?
I don't know.
He doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't know that, but yes, Joe is.
No. Yeah. How did that audition feel when you did that?
Well, the audition, I was nervous, actually. I was really nervous because there was a lot of really good talent in the show, but I've worked with Deborah, so I knew I could keep. I would be able to just be calm and then just be myself. So then it would be good.
So you just kind of looked at her during the audition, and she gave the calming influence, and everything was fine.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Can I just interject something?
Sure.
I directed this show several years ago, and Cullen, Quinn's older brother, played the part of Marcellus. This was at Holy Cross Grade School. And Quinn played Winthrop.
Peru.
So he's been in this show before, and he knows it backward and forward, and he's doing a fabulous job.
Oh, well, if you know the show backward and forward, tell us the story, Quinn.
Well, it's about a con man, Harold Hill, and he goes to River City, Iowa, and he is trying to tell everyone that the billiard parlor they just put up is not a good thing, and he needs to get the kids into a boys band to make sure they don't go to the billiard parlor. And he meets Marion Peru, and she then is trying to tell everyone that this guy's a bad person, and then they end up falling in love.
Of course. And she's Marion the librarian, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And we have two such people here, Maya Lagerstam, did I say the name right?
Yes.
And also Catherine Dullerud. We have two
Natalie.
Marians. No, did I get it wrong?
It's Natalie.
Catherine is our Amaryllis.
Oh, well, that's Todd's fault.
Because I'm sorry.
he sent me the list here. And, okay, well, I'll try to get that right. Well, let's launch right into some music, and we're going to start with Mrs. Peru, who is Ashley Massey. Is that right?
Yes.
And Marion number one, who is Maya. And the piano lesson?
So do, la, re, ti, mi, a little slower, and please keep the fingers curved and nice as high as you possibly can. Don't get faster, dear.
If you don't mind my saying so, it wouldn't have hurt you to find out what the gentleman wanted.
I know what the gentleman wanted.
What, dear?
You'll find it in Balzac.
Excuse me for living, but I've never read it.
Neither has anyone else in this town.
There you go again with that same old comment about the low mentality of River City people and taking it all too much to heart.
Now, Mama, as long as the Madison Public Library was entrusted to me for the purpose of improving River City's cultural level, I count on my concern that the ladies of River City keep ignoring all my counsel and advice.
But, darling, when a woman's got a husband and you've got none, why should she take advice from you? Even if you can quote Balzac and Shakespeare and all them other highfalutin Greeks.
Mama, if you don't mind my saying so, you have a bad habit of changing every subject.
No, I haven't changed a subject. I was talking about that stranger.
What stranger?
With a suitcase who may be your very last chance.
Mama, do you think that I'd allow a common masher? No, really, Mama. I have my standards where men are concerned, and I have no intention.
I know all about your standards, and if you don't mind my saying so, there's not a man alive who could hope to measure up to that blend of Paul Bunyan, St. Patrick, Noah Webster. You've concocted for yourself out of your Irish imagination, your Iowa stubbornness, and your library full of books.
Nicely done. Nicely done. So that was Maya Lagerstam as Marion Peru, and Ashley Massey. Ooh, I know the other person playing Mrs. Peru, Laura Salo. But she's not here today. Ashley Massey is Mrs. Peru. And Deborah Myers-Dobbs at the piano and also director of the show. Why did you only double cast a few roles?
Well, we ended up needing to double cast, first of all, because we had so many wonderful talented girls. Now, it isn't unusual in this world, this theater world that we live in, to have a lot more girls than boys. So we had 11 boys sign up, and there are 11 roles, and the rest are girls.
So there's no room for them to be double cast.
So the boys are all single cast, and the girls, we were lucky enough to have that many talented girls, so we decided to share it.
That means, guys, you better not get sick, because your role could be taken over by a girl.
We had this discussion last night at rehearsal, yes,
yeah.
That no one's allowed to get sick until Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that for guys, there would be nothing worse than having a girl take over your role, right?
Well, yeah. The only other alternative we have is Mr. Salem.
And he would be quite a big kid.
Yeah. he would stick out a little, I think.
I have played the part of Harold Hill in Quinn's absence at a few rehearsals, and I'm ready to step in. Yeah. But I also, I think, played Mrs. Peru, and I don't know how well I did at that one.
I think you were better at Mrs. Peru.
Thank you.
Oh, well, in that case, by all means, Mrs. Peru's, go right ahead and get sick. I want to see Todd Salen as... No, I'm not jinxing. Sorry about that, Ashley. Deborah, what do you know about these junior shows? I've seen a number of, you know, there's Music Man Junior, there's this and that junior, other kinds of juniors. What does the junior part mean?
Well, basically what they've done, MTI is the publishing house. They have taken some of the best shows, the old standard shows, and they have cut out actually quite a bit. And sometimes in, for instance, in this show, the numbers aren't exactly in the same order, and some scenes are completely taken out. But in order to make sense of the story, they have switched things around. And the keys are better, because young voices aren't always capable of singing the extreme highs and lows that sometimes are required by the full production.
So, do they still let... Marion and Harold Hill, do they have to kiss?
Well, that is, it depends on the age group.
Quinn is saying no.
And how willing they are.
No. They're all shaking their head on this one.
Yeah.
I that was a burning question I just had to ask.
And also, the other thing is that they make it long enough to cover all the, the most... material that they can, and yet it's just over an hour, so that the young audience as well is in an easier position to make it all the way through the show.
Has a better chance of maintaining their attention span. Mm-hmm. We're talking with members of the cast and also Deborah Dobbs, who's the director of Music Man Junior, put on by Champaign Park District Youth Theater at Centennial High School. Starting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, there are shows also Friday and Saturday at 7, and a matinee on Saturday at 1 o'clock. And Mrs. Dobbs has just put up the next song, which is going to be, oh, this is a favorite of mine. So do we have the same Marion or a different Marion? You're both doing it.
And both the
Amaryllises. Okay, so we have as Marion and Amaryllis in this no particular order, Saskia
Bakker.
Thank you very much. As Amaryllis number one, Catherine Dullerud, yes, as Amaryllis number two. And once again, we have Maya Lagerstam as Marion. And now Natalie Dullerud also as Marion.
Thank you.
So you don't ever have to do two voices at once, though, in the actual show, right? Amaryllis, just stay up at the microphone because I have a question for you. Saskia and Catherine, who is Amaryllis in The Music Man?
She's a piano student of Marion's.
And she actually she's kind of friends with Marion's little brother, Winthrop. And so she goes, and she doesn't realize how mean she's being to him because he has a lisp. And so this scene is kind of, when we sing this, it's kind of about, like, Amaryllis always says goodnight to Winthrop. And on the Evening Star. And Marion says, well, if not Winthrop, there's going to be someone else. And so we replace the name with someone and just sing
so,
about that.
So, like, I think that's speaking for Marion and for Amaryllis. They both have a someone. They want a someone.
And how old is the character of Amaryllis?
Eight.
Oh, so you guys are about right.
Well, we're 10.
You're 10. Well, I can't tell. But pretty close.
It's okay, we're shorties.
That's unusual in a kid's show for the character to be older than the character who is representing.
That's not always true because very often a child or a young person who is physically small but has a little bit more mature voice is a better choice for a child role because they aren't putting that, you know, very, very fragile young voice in jeopardy by trying to sing too loud.
Well, I was also thinking, too, because you have Quinn as Harold Hill. How old are you, Quinn?
13,
and Harold Hill is probably, what, 30? Mm-hmm. Who knows? Something like that. 40, depends who's playing it. So... Mm-hmm. Quinn, what do you have to do to be a really old guy like that?
Well, I really mostly been paying attention to that part of it, but mostly I try to act as more mature, like how Harold would act, and pronounce like how he would probably pronounce his words more clearly.
I should probably have your dad in here and ask him whether acting more mature is difficult for you or not. Is it?
It's a challenge, but I can do it, probably.
One of the discussions we had with Quinn very early is that he's played a lot of parts in town in a lot of different theater, and this is a lot of words. Harold Hill has a lot of words in Trouble, in 76 Trombones, and just in general, and he hit it right on the head. Diction's important. We did bring Jim Mayer in to work with him. And Jim, who was the original Harold Hill in CUTC's productions.
Champaign Urbana Theater Company.
Has spent some time with Quinn, helping him to learn how to address that. How has that experience been, Quinn?
It's been great. Jim is an awesome person to be able to work with. It was really fun.
Yeah. Okay, well, we better move along to your next show to make sure everybody gets a chance to sing next song. And so what's that going to be?
Gary, Indiana.
I won't tell you my story of when I was a kid hearing one of my colleagues sing that song. It didn't go over so well, but I'm sure you guys will do better.
Ready?
Gary, Indiana, let me say it once again. Gary, Indiana, that's the town that knew me when. If you'd like to have a logical explanation how I happened on this elegant syncopation, I will say without a moment of hesitation, there is just one place that can light my face.
Gary, Indiana,
not Louisiana, Paris, France, Chicago.
So that was Kyle Klein as Winthrop, and I got to tell you, you did a lot better than Van Benedict did when I was a kid. That was a very nasal voice, as I remember. So nicely done there. And as Marion, Natalie Delrude, and also then as Mrs. Peru, Ashley Massey. You're listening to actors from Music Man Jr. for the Champaign Park District Youth Theater Program, which opens tomorrow night, runs through Saturday. What do we have next?
Shapoopy.
A wonderful title. It's got to be one of the all-time weirdest titles for songs in musicals. What or who is Shapoopy? since you're at the microphone.
Ryan Gossett, talk.
Ryan, what who is Shapoopy?
Well, Shapoopy is kind of like a dance that he comes out and does with everybody, and it's talking about how like two people are in love, and the girl, if somebody, like the first person isn't the person. It's usually like the third person that you date that you're going to love for life.
And they call that Shapoopy?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
That person is your Shapoopy.
Oh, how endearing. So it's Ryan Gossett as Marcellus.
Now a woman who kissed on the very first date is usually a hussy. And a woman who kissed on the second time out is anything but fussy. But a woman who'll wait till the third time around, head in the clouds, feet on the ground. She's the girl he's glad he's found. She's his Shapoopy, 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 the girl who's hard to get. Shapoopy, 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 but you can win her yet.
There's a big dance number in the middle of the two choruses there, and so they had to kind of edit it because dancing and radio don't go very well.
No, they don't. But, Ryan, I might as well ask you this since you're still nearest the microphone. How is dancing for you?
Pretty good. I mean, it's not extremely hard, but it's not super easy. So, I mean, I think everybody's getting their own little way type thing, and I don't think it's very hard. I mean, it's...
Have you done any dancing before this show?
Well, I've been in 11 plays.
Wow.
And so a lot of them had dancing in it, but I've never taken any dance lessons. So, yeah.
Ryan was in Mike TV in this past summer's Willy Wonka student production.
Oh, that's why you look familiar. I saw that show. Nice job.
Thank you.
And are you more like the character of Marcellus, or are you more like the character of Mike TV in real life?
Definitely Mike TV.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. So tell me, who is Marcellus? I didn't ask you that.
Marcellus is Harold's best friend, and he used to be a con artist with Harold Hill. And when they went to Iowa to, you know, con them, I stayed there because I found a girl, and now he's come back to con Iowa again, and I'm just meeting back up with him, and now I'm helping him get through, like, selling band instruments and all of that great stuff.
Okay. So we've got one more number, and I'll bet you this is probably the most famous one from the show, and we'll just have a tiny little teaser from this one.
Seventy-six trombones hit the counterpoint, while 110 cornets blazed away. To the rhythm of harch, 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 all the kids began to march, and they're marching still right today. Marching still right today.
And there is more to that in the actual show.
Oh,
yeah. So these are serious just teaser numbers here.
No, if we give it all away, no one will come and watch.
Well, I'll bet they will. I'll bet they will anyway, because that's a great song.
I hope so.
How many trombones do you have in the show?
Not quite 76.
Right now, one. So if you have a trombone out there that you'd like to loan us for the next 3 days, we would love it. Give us a call. We'll keep it safe for you. We actually do are hurting for instruments for the kids.
To play on stage.
Yeah.
They're actually only used at about 30 seconds.
Okay, well, you know, so if somebody wants to loan their instruments, who would they get hold of?
They can call me at 369-9415 here in town, Todd Salen, and I would gladly make sure that we get it to the right, in the right place, and get it back to you on Sunday.
In the right condition.
In the right condition, yes.
All right. Well, it's members of the cast of the Champaign Park District Youth Theater production of The Music Band Junior, which opens tomorrow night at Centennial High School Auditorium in Champaign. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday performances are at 7. Saturday's matinee, is at 1 o'clock. For more information, it's champagneparkdistrict.com, although I couldn't actually find much information there about how to get tickets and so on. How does one get tickets?
You can get tickets for the next – you can either go to the Springer Cultural Arts Center and get tickets, or at the Bresnan Meeting Center. Either one has tickets, or you can just get them at the door. We have plenty of tickets at the door.
And it's a big auditorium, so
– yeah, large auditorium, 700 seats, and there'll be seats available every night.
Lots of parking, so yeah. It's a great place to see the show. That's Todd Salen, who's assistant director and producer for the show, and we also have with us Deborah Myers-Dobbs, who is the director. You're doing both stage and vocal direction?
Actually, with the Park District, we kind of do it all. I did the music at the beginning, and then we also, I was the stage director as well, and choreographer, and I have been pretty much in charge of costumes.
Oh, wow.
With lots of help from moms, and there have been some fabulous mothers who have come in and sat during the show or the rehearsal and fixed anything that needed fixed, and they are invaluable.
And some help from your daughter.
And my daughter, Caitlin. She is
the
organizational wizard.
Oh, well, that's great to
and
know.
She's wonderful.
And great help from Joe Murphy and Jill Lagerstam. I wanted to mention them. They designed the set and painted the set. And my thanks to them.
Yeah, well, thanks to all of you for coming in, and I hope you have a great show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Just a quick rundown of a few other events going on. Today is Wednesday, so that means a second performance of A Time to Speak, which we featured on this show yesterday. That's tonight at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana. University of Illinois Wind Orchestra is also playing tonight at the Krannert Center at 7:30. The In Your Ear Big Band from Parkland College is at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tonight at 6. The Chris Boucher Quintet is at the Iron Post tonight at 9 o'clock. The Sangamon Valley Community Orchestra is playing at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield tonight at 7:30. And University of Illinois Jazz Combo is playing tomorrow night at 7 at the Iron Post. The Pacifica Quartet, I don't think that's right. This is not a correct date. They're not playing tomorrow night. University of Illinois Steel Band is tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center. Eastern Illinois University Jazz Lab Band is tomorrow night at 7:30 in Charleston at the Dowden of Fine Arts Center. Millikan University Eastern Illinois University Jazz Lab Band. I said that one. Millikan Vocal Jazz Concert, there we go, is tomorrow night at 7:30 in the Albert Taylor Theater. And Candy Foster and the Shades of Blue are at Emerald City Lounge tomorrow night in Champaign at 8 o'clock. Our programs today are made possible with support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from noon to 4 in the Bouvans Tasting Room. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYNL-FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266AF Urbana and W293AF Danville. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And join us for Live and Local again tomorrow from 12 to 1, where we have the wonderful folk singer joining us for the hour, Bucky Halker. Stay tuned for the Writer's Almanac if you're on 90.9 and classical music if you're on 101.1.